I want to read a story from John's Gospel, chapter 20, a story that's out of sync with our liturgical year, but I think on point for much of what we experience, perhaps especially these weeks. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. I've been feeling a little smug the last week to 10 days or so, because for the first time ever in our little household of two, the one with the most recently dented car is not me. I have dented up, busted, or wrecked every car I've ever owned, and a couple of them that you have owned. And about 10 days ago, a curb jumped right out in front of Jeannie, and she's got a little dent in the side of her car. Well, she had an opportunity this week to hitch a ride with Betty Dennis down to Austin and play with the granddaughter, and she took that. And I said, "Okay, while you're gone, I'll run you down to Betty's and back, and while you're gone, I'll take your car into the adjuster and do the insurance thing and get the estimates, because I'm good at it." So instead of her driving her car, which is perfectly drivable and it's not dented up very badly, instead of her driving it down to Gale and leaving it there and going to Austin, which would be the efficient thing to do, I ran her down and back and then went and picked her up. She left on Monday and I picked her up on Thursday, which was Ark Building Day in Lubbock. And I used the Toyota that is the truck that the church owns that I drive. And we went down and picked her up in Gale and drove back. And about the time we got to where the Slayton Highway and the South Loop connect in Lubbock, there was a car half submerged in the flood, which we circumvented, and then drove through intersection after intersection after intersection that was quite up to the running boards on the much higher wheelbase truck. And it occurred to her and to me that had that dent not happened, she would have been in her Toyota Camry, which, you know, wouldn't have carried her off in a flash flood, but might well have flooded the engine block and made all kinds of much more difficult problems to solve. So, the story begins, "I dented up my car, that's horrible." Well, maybe not, when the story plays itself out, and there may be some good yet to be. It's a metaphor, really, for the essence of what I think living as a human being in this human world is about. None of our stories are self-contained, and the evaluation of, or the impact, or the judgment of any event has to be seen in the sequence of events as they play themselves out. And there's this massive grayness that prevent us from, I think, ascribing great wonder or great horror and encapsulating any story at either extreme, because it's maybe wonderful and or horrific, but mostly in between. Ask anyone who's won the lottery, I suspect. That's wonderful. Well, yes and no. It's that yes and no-ness that is characteristic, I think, of the life we share. The poster child for this, at least with respect to our faith, is Mary Magdalene in the garden. If she looked like she had lost her best friend, that was exactly what had happened. Overcome by sadness and grief and the inability to sleep, she's alone in the garden on Easter morning and doesn't even recognize the presence of Jesus who has risen and by all accounts would turn her life completely around and absolve her and obliterate all the sorrow and grief. Well, she does recognize him and immediately wants to grab onto him and hold him and, you know, all of the things, all the gestures of friendship that have perhaps characterized that relationship, and Jesus stops her. So at this moment of overwhelming joy at seeing the subject of her grief and loss alive again, it's accompanied by a kind of heartbreak because things are different. Things are not the same. Tell my brethren I have risen for all. And though we have this meeting, it's no longer the same kind of friendship that you and I have had. Intriguing in its own way that there remains both and in the Mary Magdalene story as it is for all of our stories. Resurrection accompanied by heartbreak leading to resurrection. I think it's true at its essence that we meet Jesus when we need to meet him the most, more or less in the garden. Sometimes a rose garden of great joy at the marriage of our children or the birth of a grandchild. And yet, there's also loss and the threat of loss anytime life moves through a passage. I think we see Mary Magdalene sort of metaphorically in the garden, surrounded by the whiff of gladiolas that accompany all loss. Funeral music, funeral flowers, if you will. And of course, it's at that moment where Jesus meets her, recognizes her, and she finally recognizes him, and she moves into the post-resurrection era, seeking to understand, although never completely able to understand, the magnitude of the grace accompanied by the heartbreak of not being able to be what it once was. Every experience we've had that's left us feeling at a loss or in grief is overcome, and we move our way through it, but it's never quite the same. And yet, the promise of Jesus and Mary in the garden is that there will be good again, not necessarily compensating good, or good that comes out of that situation, but there will be good again, is the promise of Jesus and Mary in the garden. The song, In the Garden, the chorus of which is very familiar to us and very comforting in its own way, doesn't say, he makes it all better. He makes me forget about the loss. It says simply, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own, which is true regardless of circumstance. And that's what gets us through the presence of an accompanying Lord in the garden. There will be good. Post 9/11, I don't think anyone that was touched by that in any way, certainly not those that were touched most directly, would say anything good that's happened to me since compensates me for that loss. But there has been good. Hurricane Katrina, and the others now with the latest in the Gulf. The promise of Jesus in the garden is only there will be good again. At the end of the day, that's all we can count on, and maybe that's all we need. For as he continues to walk with us and talk with us, we continue to both laugh and weep, experience joy and pain, but know that in any situation, through and to all that we experience, there will be good again. Amen.